Hello and welcome to Ilani Talks, a podcast focused on redefining self-care and love for your mental health. I'm your host, Ilani Salcedo. Throughout the podcast episodes, I share my own experiences while others feature some truly wonderful guests. In this episode, Karen Maloney joins me. She shares how valuing external validation sabotages our inner strength, the negative effects of living as a perfectionist, the experiences that have led her to debunk limiting beliefs, her work as an inside-out coach, and so much more. Welcome to Ilani Talks, Karen. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you, Ilani. I'm super excited to join you and connect with you and your guests today.
Before beginning our conversation, there are two questions I ask my guests, and I'd love to hear your answers. They are, what do you do and what do you want to be known for?
Okay. So I work as an inside out coach for women, and I help women to cultivate self-approval from within. So that's the short snippet. Obviously, there's a lot under that umbrella that we might get into some of it in the conversation. And what do I want to be remembered for? I just want to be remembered for just living my life and for shining my light and being able to help and support another, because truly from my own journey, and I suppose that's why I do what I do, you know, we are all here to be of service and to uplift each other and humanity, because life is challenging and full of events, but you know, we always have a choice.
Yes, and that's so needed in the world, so it's a great thing that you're so passionate about it as well.
Yes, I do love it.
I love how on your about page you mentioned, I'm a recovering perfectionist, overanalyzing, anxious, and emotionally numb person. I'm sure some people listening to this can really relate. With that, what was the pivotal moment of your own self-discovery journey that steered you away from these characteristics?
Well, to be honest, there's been many, but I do know a couple of years ago, I went through a really traumatic breakup where myself and my ex, we were living abroad, and he wasn't from Ireland, I'm Irish, but we were living abroad and I was back home in Ireland for a holiday just to visit my family and friends, and he sent me an email and basically just said, I can't do this anymore, I'm breaking up with you. And he had said he had gone back to his home country and he would have my stuff ship back to Ireland. So, my literally life as I knew it was obliterated. My stuff never arrived back either, so I lost everything. I lost all my possessions, clothes, shoes, bags, jewelry, everything. Yeah. So, as you can imagine, I was just in tears and convulsions and shock, and it was a huge, huge trauma. But after a couple of days, like literally stuck in the bed all day, every day for about 3 or 4 days, which it happened pretty quick, I'm so grateful for, but like literally not being able to breathe from the tears and living in that space of taking on all the blame as we do, going, what did I do wrong? Oh, I shouldn't have done this. I shouldn't have said that. Why did I do this? Oh my God, it's all my fault. What did I miss? Blah, and you know, a million and one question. And one day through another crying fit, this immense calm just came over me out of nowhere. And I heard this voice and it said, okay, Karen, you've two choices here. You either stay exactly as you are, miserable, horrible, going through like a million and one questions, missing out on your life, destroying yourself, not talking to anyone, or you accept this as your reality and you start to move forward. And in that, now I can look back, because that's just over 4 years ago, and now I can look back and see that was an awakening, and that was my higher self speaking to me. But in that moment, I just had this epiphany, this huge clarity that hadn't entered my head before then, that, oh my God, this is true. I'm like, yes, this has happened. I can't unhappen it. So, but I have every choice in how I choose to live from here on forward. So that was really, and that's not to say it was easy from then on in, and I was just like, okay, it's done, blah. No, I had to move still through the emotional pain, but I never cried like I did then. It wasn't easy, but it was absolutely easier because I just had this clarity of, oh yeah, I have a choice. And the acceptance of this has happened. So why do I want to destroy myself? And this is what happens. We build stories, and actually it's our thoughts that hurt us even more than the actual event. Like, yes, like that, I had to move through the emotional pain. But actually, I came to a point then as well where I realized, oh, it's only when I think about this that it hurts.
Right.
And that's, I mean, a huge crux of my work and everything as well. So, but I suppose the perfectionism and all that, the overanalyzing, actually came from that looking for validation and approval on the external, on the outside, right, which I think so many of us do. And if anyone had mentioned to me that's what I was doing, I would have said, absolutely no way, because I was so super independent. I nearly would have been the opposite, going, no, I don't need anybody. But actually, from doing this work, it's like, no, that was the underlying drive that was within me, feeling I needed to be someone to someone or everybody.
Right.
To get that approval and that need of belonging and acceptance. So, yeah, I mean, it's a whole journey. But that was certainly a pivotal mindset awakening shift.
Yeah. No, absolutely. And I could totally empathize with you. I went through a terrible breakup a few years ago. And I'm in a great relationship now. Like, I'm getting married in April. So, you know, like, I'm in a very healthy relationship, but I could totally empathize with feeling so broken that way,
mm-hmm.
but it also being an awakening for yourself, and how brave of you that you've been able to make such a beautiful career out of it and do the things that you love to kind of bring that light. And like you say, sometimes we're not aware that we maybe are looking for validation of the external. But when we put things into perspective, we're like, oh, maybe we are. And that's not where the strength is or where our own personal strength is. So I could I could totally really feel that completely.
Yeah. And you know what? Honestly, it's one of the greatest gifts of my life. Like, if I met that dude, I've never heard from him since, but if he appeared in front of me, I would just say thank you. I hold no resentment, no animosity. I don't want to go back there, absolutely 100%. But I have no bad feelings. I'm actually so grateful, because the thing about it is as well, again, when we do the inner work and start to look internally and ask ourselves, you know, self-reflective and self-inquiry questions, you know, there's that whole responsibility piece as well,
yeah,
that many people don't want to accept. But I have accepted as well. I'm like, well, actually, it was because, no more than that need for approval and validation, it all stemmed from not feeling good enough. It was a subconscious hidden belief that I was oblivious to, that everyone is, you know, when I work with clients. That's why they're called subconscious. We don't see them. But we all carry subconscious limiting beliefs from childhood, from up before 7. And it doesn't even matter if you had something traumatic or not happen to you. That really doesn't matter. But we're constantly told from society who we need to be to get loved, how we need to act to be accepted. So again, there was this whole uncovering responsibility piece to see, well, actually, I was meeting my needs in dysfunctional ways. Like, if I had done the work a long time before, I would never have attracted that guy in the first place. So
right,
it's that level of responsibility as well, going, well, you know, yeah, it takes two to tango. It's not all his fault. You know, what was it in me that attracted him in the first place? You know, and that's a huge part of my work that, and I see so many people. And that's why coaching is hard sometimes. It's the most incredible work, because it's very proactive. It's seeing the crap, as I say, and changing it. Because once we see it, we can actually do something about it. But there is that whole responsibility piece and getting honest with ourselves. Because truthfully, we all know. Like, truthfully, I could have told you way back on, yeah, I don't know, there was something in me. But again, I allowed fear to ruin my life. I allowed the story of, well, what if I don't get another chance? What if I don't have the opportunity? Like, oh, I'm getting a bit older. I want to get married and have kids. So I allowed that fear to ruin my life, as opposed to looking honestly and going, well, you know what? Maybe I do need to walk away. This is not for me, you know?
Right. Yeah. The blessing with the pain, it comes together, you know?
Yes, it does. There is always, absolutely 100%. We learn, we get our greatest wisdom and our greatest growth through the pain. But the thing about it is we have to face the pain. Yeah. We have to, and that's how we're not taught how to do that in society. So we run, we hide, we suppress, we deny, and we keep going like everything is fine, whereas it will catch up. So that's my work as well, as in helping people get comfortable and to go within and to build that inner resilience and to cultivate that emotional intelligence and to know, hey, our emotions aren't bad. We just haven't been taught anything about them and how to process them.
Right. And with that, self-discovery and inner learning opens up a whole new perspective. How do you maintain that to not revert back to the old ways?
It's so funny. At this stage, I was even actually talking to one of my coaches earlier this week, and I was like, when you consistently have a daily practice and you feel the benefits of living in another way, and having all these insights and actually changing and choosing your beliefs, your stories, and who you want to be. I was only saying to my coach earlier this week, I was like, I actually don't even know who the hell I was. As in, when I read back and I think back, going, oh my God, my brain was incessant. It was nonstop thoughts. Like that constant striving for perfectionism. You know, this overworking, this inner, huge inner critic. She's not there anymore. Like, so there's absolutely no way I can go back, because when you do the work consistently, as I have been for years and years and years, you know, even before that event, I always had an interest in personal development, self-development, energy work. So I was always kind of tapping away. I didn't get it fully, but I was always doing bits. But then when I got really disciplined and serious and committed, like, there's no way I can go back. It's impossible, because my whole vibration and energy has elevated so much. That doesn't mean that I don't face challenges. That doesn't mean that I don't have my negative spirals and my moments. I absolutely do. I'm human. But the thing is, I never drop as low as I was, first of all. And second of all, I catch myself much quicker. And I've got so many tools in my toolbox now to bring me right back to the present moment. So it doesn't end up destroying, you know, my whole day or week or month, or creating this whole big story that then I attach to and build this identity of. No, I release it and I move and I'm like, okay, I can, again, I have those tools and skills to move through it. So yeah, I'm a totally different person. And the thing about it is as well, my brain was so mental, like thoughts did not stop, you know, that perfectionism as well. And I'm a Virgo, so that didn't help as well. You know, that really OCD, everything has to be perfect. But the thing about it is as well, I actually didn't even see it as a bad thing back then. It's only now that I can honestly say my mind is silent for the most part. It's only now that I'm like, oh my God, it was actually manic. I was actually wrapped up in anxiety. But again, I didn't know. I was oblivious. I just thought like, yeah, this is me. This is normal. And that's why I work to say, no, it's absolutely not. It is 100% not. Connecting and knowing our inner stillness, that peace, that serenity, that ease that flows through all of us. That is our innate way of being. Any other way are patterns and habits and ways of being that we have picked up, feeling that we need to do in order to fit in. And like that, to be someone, to get approval, to be validated, to be told, yes, you're a good human, you know? So.
Yeah. And that kind of goes into my next question. Living from our thinking mind is very limited. Can you share more about this?
Well, it's completely initially limited. Because we constantly, I suppose there's four elements to us. You know, there's a physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual body. And in the Western world, we're very much just associated with the physical body. And that's not just the physical body as in our physical body, but it's also the physical material world, as in what we can touch, what we can taste, how much money we can earn, how many houses can we have, what kind of things can we gather and own. That's what is credited in Western culture, you know, and that's that very linear, logical plan, rationalized thinking. whereas it forgets a lot of our mental, emotional and spiritual body, and especially the emotional and spiritual body. We're not really taught anything about that in our society. And that is really that intuitive part of us, that true life force, that soul, that spirit aspect of us all. Like, we are a spirit in a body. And that's often ridiculed. It's not given any weight in our society. Like, if people are told, you know, to trust their intuition, our intuition is an intellect higher than intelligence, but it doesn't have a rhyme or reason. You know, often we can't prove it, we just know. And the more that we tune into that, it is, you know, super powerful.
Yeah.
So when we forget those aspects of ourselves, it's extremely limited. And believe me, because I live there as well. And I constantly try to, and it's that linear thinking, that Newtonian thinking of plan, do, measure, achieve, success. That's the masculine energy as well. And we all have masculine and feminine energy within us. But we can see in society even nowadays, we have been led by that masculine, that patriarchal energy. This has got nothing to do with individuals, male and female. That is the energy that has been running our society for a long time. It's like build more, faster. And we can see where that's got us to. It's got us to an absolute tipping point of basically we could be wiping ourselves out because we've just been plundering the earth, plundering all natural resources just to get faster, build more, bigger cars, bigger houses, more companies, produce more, this mass consumerism. So it's completely and utterly limited. And if we don't start connecting to the other aspects, again, each of us individually, you know, yes, it can come from top down, but this is our work. All of us. Right now, this time, we're going through a huge transition, and it's for us to all connect to the different aspects of ourselves and nurture them and value them and cultivate them within ourselves.
Yeah, absolutely. And the four parts that you mentioned, the physical body, the emotional body, the mental, and the spiritual, it's so important. And like you say, we've been living in this world that's just more and more and more, that instant gratification, that bigger lifestyle, when really it's about your inner work more than anything. And like,
well, it is now because it's been neglected for so long.
Exactly. It's been showing that all this stuff is not working. It is so taxing on all parts of ourselves. So really getting quiet and getting that inner strength a little bit more, like the thing we go to,
yeah,
is so much more beneficial than anything else.
Yeah. My theory as well is, you know, and from my own experiences and insights and learnings, is if I don't work, nothing will work. And this is the thing, we often try to change things without actually changing ourselves. We think, oh, I'll just change my job because I really don't like it anymore. And we go to another one. And then after a year or two, we're feeling this thing again, this like, oh, irritation or whatever it is, or we'll change house, or we'll change location, or we'll change husbands, or we'll change whatever. And we keep trying to change things without changing ourselves. And ultimately, everything stems from us. So if we are not changing ourselves, the same issues will keep presenting in different masks.
Yeah.
And again, it's that running, that denial, that suppression. We can do that as long as we want, until eventually sometimes we actually just get so sick. We can actually get so sick, like illness, we can have an accident, or we just get so sick of our old patterns and routines and stories that we're telling ourselves, that we're like, oh man, I have to try something else. But the thing about it is, we don't have to wait till that burnout, that total exhaustion. Yeah. We can do it now, step by step. Start taking the power back in our own hands and taking the reins back in our life again. Get back in the driver's seat. Don't just be on autopilot. Don't just be cruising along in someone else's life. Get back in the driver's seat of your life. It's a million times better. Takes a bit of work. That's the shift to get back there. But once you're there, it is epic. It is the only place to be.
Yeah. And people shy away a lot from the work, but nothing could get done if you don't go through the work. It's going through it, not avoiding it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
When it comes to intuition and truthfully trusting it, how has your own life shown you the benefits?
my whole life is the benefit. What I'm doing now, where I'm at now, is 100% from following my intuition. Since I was a young child, I've always been highly intuitive. But again, well, I didn't have the language, first of all, when I was that age. I didn't know what it was. But from a very young age, I was making really strong choices for myself that I don't know. I just had a feeling of, no, like, this is not for me. And I kind of often went against the status quo, not to be a rebel or anything like that, but it just made no sense to me. I questioned the status quo, but yet, you know, there was no internet, so I would turn to books, but yet I hadn't found where to land. So often I struggle with the status quo, but at the same time, I really struggled with, well, why don't I fit in? What's wrong with me? You know, why don't I want what everyone else wants? You know, so, and that leads to looking for that approval even more so.
Right.
But I can see, and I'm so eternally grateful that I followed those really strong gut pangs. And I mean, from a young age, all my life, even when everyone seemed to be doing the opposite, even, and this is where my mother comes in as well. And she's the most incredible woman ever. And it's obviously why I chose her to be my mother as well before I came here, because she always 100% supported me and allowed me to trust my own inner knowing. Even though I'm sure at times she was like, what the hell are you doing? This is insane. Because I couldn't logicalize or rationalize anything. I didn't have the language. I just knew. Yeah. I was just like, I just have to try it. And I can only say, in the last couple of years, everything has really landed. And since that's landed, I can look back at my whole entire life and those key pivotal moments when I took those decisions. And all I can say, like, this deep humility and grace just fills every cell of my body, because I'm like, oh my God, thank you. I'm like, I was following my truth all along, even though I felt outcasted, even though I questioned it, even though I wondered what the hell is wrong with me. I just knew there was just some other knowing. And I am so eternally grateful. So now I lean in even more. I trust it even more. Because this is the thing, our intuition, once we tune into it for ourselves, it will never, ever, 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 ever lead us astray. Yes, we would question what it's telling us. Yes, it may be opposite to what we had expected or we thought or we planned. But we need to trust it.
So true. And how beautiful that you had that support since very young.
I know. Because when you're a child, you just think all mothers are like that. And then from other friends and people I've met, they're like, oh no, my mother is not like that. You know, but again, we all choose our challenges and our people and everything before we come here as part of our soul journey. We have certain aspects. Yes, other stuff will happen that, you know, are really tragic. You know, people would be like, how could you ask for such a thing? But there is always some element of, we don't know what our soul came here to learn. We don't know what our soul came here to experience.
Right. Yeah, and it's our duty to make the choices to kind of figure that out as best as we can while we're still here.
Totally. Because when we do, when we click into that, I'm telling you, a whole other world opens up that you're like, shit, yeah. You're like, yeah. We're here to live life, to enjoy it, to have fun and love and laughter and compassion and light, no matter what is happening. You know, we're not here to get stuck in the misery and the striving and just surviving. We're here to be abundant. We're here to thrive. But we can only thrive when we move into those, that more intuitive way of living, into that spirit way of living, and connecting with that and having it support us in our life. Because then, like that, you have, like I say, I'm not immune to challenges or difficulties. That's a part of life. But I also understand now as well, from this full acceptance and coming to this full embodiment of my soul, that we're here to experience it all. This is part of life, because our essence, where we're from, like as a high vibration energy, we don't get to have these experiences. So that's why we incarnated into a body. It is to experience it all of it, the pain, the good, the bad, the ugly, all of it. Because again, that's how we learn. And the thing is to always keep our hearts open and not shut them closed. Because again, when we shut them closed, we actually inadvertently end up adding more pain to ourselves.
Absolutely.
I completely agree. That's a whole other conversation.
I know.
Because again, I was a person who did have blocks up in my heart. I had walls. I thought this is the way I protect myself. Mm-hmm. But no, I've learned, no, we have to fully blast it open and be open to everything. Because again, that's the importance of learning the tools and the skills that we know we can rise through anything.
Yes, I completely agree with that. When, like you say, when we don't have our hearts open, so much is blocked from us, you know, yeah. And then that's why, unfortunately, we go through very difficult moments where it gets us into the rock bottom of things. And we're like, how did we get here?
But we do that as well, because with closing our heart comes living in our mind. We move up to our head and we're like, okay, if I can't think, plan, strategize, know exactly how this is going to go, I'm never going to do it. Where the truth is, we can never know how anything is going to turn out, even with all the best planning in the world, because everything only happens now and it'll only happen when it's showing up. So how exactly it's going to happen, we can never know until it's happening, until it's in the present, you know? So it's like, that's not to say don't plan if you don't want to plan. But then you let it go. You don't live your life attached and trying to control every single solitary thing, because we can't. The only thing we can control are our responses. And again, that comes to the inner work.
Right. With a person who lives in fear of listening to their inner self, like we've been speaking about, how do you think they can lean more into it rather than away from it?
Yeah. So this is something I work with a lot with clients, because again, it's that building trust in ourselves. You know, well, how do I trust what's right for me over what, you know, my family, my friends, society, culture, education, religion, whatever, have been telling me for years and years and years, no, this is who you need to be. This is what you need to do. And the way we do that is by first learning, how do our signs show up for us? Because again, intuition, we might hear something, we can hear a voice in our head, we can intuitively just know, just have a sense of, oh yeah, this is what I need to do, I don't know why, but I'm feeling pulled in this direction. Or some people might see, like see in their mind's eye, so not actually see in front of them physically, but in their mind's eye, they just might see an image or a sign. So first of all, it's about knowing how our signs show up for us. And then we just need to explore and we need to trust. And if there's, you know, try with simple things. You know, if you're asking for a sign, whether you should meet your friend for a cup of tea or something, just feel, be like, okay, give me a sign if it's something I should do. And again, notice, it's a whole awareness piece. Notice, do you get a sensation in your body? Does it actually make you feel good or does it make you feel bad? Do you hear a bit of a in your head, or do you hear like a tinkle bell? You know, it can show up in so many ways. And often as well, I find, especially with clients who come to me a lot, is again, when we're living in that mode of constantly trying to please everyone else and forgetting our own needs and not even voicing our own needs, you know, we just fall into those habits of kind of being yes, and anyone can lean on us, and you know, we'll put our own plans aside and we'll do something even if we don't want to. And when we all have that feeling when we don't want to do it, like, it's actually been disingenuous to ourselves and the other person to say yes just because you think, you know, oh, I better, or they're going to think bad of me. And again, it's exploring. Women, we can be very bad with our no and expressing a no. So I often get clients to really explore and start with easy no's. Even if it's with family or kids or your husband or your partner, and they ask you, can you take the washing out of the washing machine? Like something simple. And you're in the middle of cooking dinner, you know, just go, unfortunately, I can't right now.
Right.
You know? And that's our no expressed. And it's really clear and concise, because often we're afraid. And again, we expect, oh, if I don't do it, they're not going to think I'm a good wife or a person, whatever. And then we build all this resentment. And next thing, we can explode one day because they've left the top off a sauce jar or something. you know, and it has nothing to do with that, but it's our own inner inability to be vulnerable and to kind of hold our hands up and go, I'm not Superwoman. So it is that whole piece of exploring, you know, whatever is a challenge for you or has been for you, in what way can you break it down and try it in a really easy, simple step? That, and often this is the thing, when we say that no, for us it's a huge thing inside. We're like, oh my God, I just said no. But again, often when you say it, the other person's like, all right, okay. And you're like, what?
It's all in your head.
Yeah, exactly. You're like, all these stories that you imagine that they're going to explode, they're going to think you're really bad, they're going to call you X, Y, and Z. You're like, that didn't happen. So it builds confidence. Then you're like, oh my God, maybe actually what I've created in my head is not going to happen. So you do it again and again and again, and you just build really slowly. And next thing you're like, okay. And you begin to see that actually 99% of the stuff we think, like, it's all just fictional that we have created in our head. It's not actually real reality.
Right. And that's what people also need to understand. Like, you could build slowly and still get great results.
Oh,
you know?
I say the smaller, the better. If we try to change everything at once, it's totally unsustainable. It needs to be small, steady, because there's that discipline and that commitment piece. That's what's going to get you there, the discipline and the commitment. Tiny steps over time, and you build momentum, and you build momentum, and you build momentum. And next thing, you're hurtling down that train track, and you're like, wow, who am I? You know?
Right.
And that's the best way.
Yeah. Soul Power and Light, your brand, embodies all the topics that we've spoken about. What drove you to start specifically helping women find their own version of freedom?
Yeah, that was actually really enlightening to me when I got the message that I would be working with women only, because I suppose, like that, for so long, I had totally suppressed my feminine energy. You know, I was that person who was afraid to be vulnerable. I was that person afraid to appear like I didn't know what I was doing. I was that person who was afraid to voice their own needs and to say that no. I lived in my masculine of doing, being, planning, thinking, strategizing, going, going, going. So, and again, women, we can often be very critical of each other and very jealous of each other. Whereas actually when you come in and embrace our feminine energy and move into that space within us, I was like, oh my God, it was like a massive, another awakening for me. And I remember one day in my room, like, I used to write goals and everything, and I just was looking around one day and I was like, oh my God, that's so masculine. And everything that I used to do, I was like, oh my God, that's so masculine. And that didn't mean, you know, I dressed like a boy or was a tomboy or anything. No, I'm purely speaking about energy and where my energy was directed and how I was using it in my life and how I was so afraid to lean into my feminine and that beautiful strength that's in vulnerability and that emotive and, you know, that whole flowing aspect of ourselves. Because again, I thought that was scary. I thought not going there would protect me. It would keep me safe, you know? So that was news to me when I got the message of working with women. But once I woke up and saw how I had been, I'm like, of course, I can only work with women, because we've all been trained in this way to kind of live as men. And again, it's the whole generational and the energies of the patriarchy. And again, I'm not a raging feminist. I'm not about, oh, put women on the top of the country, whatever. For me, I don't care who's at the top. The best person should be at the top, whether it's, you know, a man or a woman. But what I mean is the complete omission of the feminine energy as society has been growing and creating and in the planning is what has led us to the mess we're in. You know, even indigenous communities, they would always connect and consult with the women of where should we build, where should we make our homes, where should we move to, because they were the ones connected to the land. They were the ones who could see quantumly and be like, oh yeah, there's water down the road, there's food, okay, this is a good place to set up. And then the men go constructing, but that there hasn't been that engagement as we've been expanding, so on so many levels, you know, for so many reasons. That's why I've been called to work with women and in helping women to have a voice again and to realize that they're enough exactly as they are. They don't need to be anyone. They don't need to be everything to everyone. You know, they just need to be themselves and the rest will fall into place.
Right. I've heard so many women also not speak up or just feel like they can't feel their feelings because that might appear weak. Mm-hmm. And I think that's something we need to lean into as a strength, because it takes strength to be that vulnerable, to feel all those feelings and even the most difficult ones, you know, like it just takes so much out of you. But that's, if you're feeling that, that's okay. You could feel your feelings.
Yeah.
It does not make you weak.
Yeah, absolutely, 100%. And I can contest, like, you know, I was that person afraid to lean into vulnerability. But now I can tell you it is the greatest strength and it is the most beautiful gift. And no more than Brené Brown talks about, she talks a lot about vulnerability, obviously. But what did she say before? The only way to courage is through vulnerability. Mm. And that's so true.
Yeah, that wonderful Brené Brown.
Oh, love her. And again, it doesn't have to be scary. Again, it comes back to this whole thing, because we believe the stories that we tell ourselves in our mind. Mm. And actually, that's the inner work. And that's what I help clients do, is debunking those stories. Because actually, yeah, it's hard to have the hard conversations, or, you know, to speak the truth sometimes. But actually, it's not scary. And it's not as bad as our minds make it out to be. And again, it's a practice. The more that we do it and explore and have those little things and start with smaller things, but they're still big for us, and then build, you realize going, oh my God, like that, you know, for so long, I'm like, why did I have myself wrapped up in such a knot for so long? Mm-hmm. But again, it's all fine. It's all been perfect, because again, I needed the lessons and the learnings. And that's why in the inner work as well, huge patience and self-compassion is required. That's exactly what you don't want to happen if you're going in debunking and uncovering all these stories and what you've been carrying and these beliefs, and then you're like, oh my God, how could I be so stupid? That's not what you want. That's when you bring in the compassion, because it's like that thing, when we know better, we do better. We're like, wow, you know?
Yes, it's so liberating.
It is 100% liberating. Absolutely. That's our only limit. Our only limit is ourselves. That's right. The God's honest truth. Our only limit is ourselves. We can create stories. We can create excuses. We can say it's the money. We can say this. We can say that. They're elements, yes. But the real truth is we are our only limit.
Exactly. Yeah. And I love how you just said that, because that's a message that I try to put out as much as I can through my content, even if I don't directly say that. But that is always like the energy that I put into everything that I do, because like you say, we are our limiting factor, although there are elements that might block us, but everything's also a choice.
Totally.
So it's our choice to either let that kind of consume us and define us, or rise above it and work through it to actually get out to the other side and really, you know, figure out what's right for us.
Yeah. And 100%, absolutely true. And like I say, though, for anyone who might be listening, going, oh, Jesus, and they're going into a spiral. No, it's all been perfect. Like, it's all been fine. What has been has been. But like that, we always have a choice moving forward and learning. And that is truly stepping into our power. That is the only power we have. And the only thing we can control is actually ourselves and our choice and how we respond to things. And again, that's that whole, when we do that for ourselves, for me, that's why it's that self-approval from within. Because when we do that, like you say, it's complete and utter liberation. We move into this space of that inner timelessness, that inner peace that I mentioned before, this kind of balance and ease and flow. And we have this sense of, oh my God, I'm enough. I actually don't need to be anyone for anyone. I just need to be me. And if someone doesn't like that, that's fine. They don't have to be in my life, but I just need to be me. And it is so empowering. And then from there, you can choose to prioritize your own needs, your own dreams, your own desires, create healthy boundaries around yourself, and, you know, be flexible and allow yourself to grow and evolve into who you're meant to be. And again, when you get to this level, you know, there is no superiority. It's not about ego. You move into this total self-acceptance, and that realizing you're enough, that you actually allow others to be themselves as well. You're like, oh, I realize I cannot control anyone or anything except me. And actually, like that, like I was saying before, women, we can often be very catty of each other and criticizing and want to, you know, be jealous and want to pull each other down. Whereas now, when I've got this whole meanness from inside and this approval for myself from within, I am ecstatic for any other women, you know, doing their thing. I am there on the sidelines cheering them on, going, yes, you absolutely go for it. Because you also realize that we all have our own uniqueness. So competition is actually, it doesn't exist. Again, that's a limit of the mind, because we all have our own energy and essence and unique vibe that we can all do the same work if we want, but we will all bring our own energy, we'll all bring our own vibe or lessons to that work that will connect with different people. So there is no such thing as competition. So it just moves into this beautiful space of, well, now I can say this deep reverence for myself and my body, and just wanting to honor that and the sacredness of that, and becoming so attuned as well to my energy. I mean, like, if I know this food or this thought or this story I tell myself or this person really drags me down, why do I eat it? Or why do I think it? Or why do I go talk to them? And it's like, okay, not any longer, thanks.
Yeah, it's that awareness about everything around you.
Yeah.
One of the services you offer are meditation circles. I would love for our listeners to get a sneak peek of that. Will you be so kind as to share a quick meditation for us?
Could do a really simple, easy, beautiful technique that in one way or another, some form of, I do every single morning. It's like a grounding technique as well to, because again, often if we don't take a moment in the morning, especially, I think, to ground, to center, to actually realize, oh, I'm awake, before all the hecticness and picking up the phone, and instantly we're just in reactionary mode to emails, to messages, to this, that, and the other. Taking a moment to center and ground is so important. That really helps with the awareness piece. So just for listeners, if anyone's driving, obviously don't do it, but come back to it later. But just whether you're standing or whether you're sitting, just drop your hands onto your lap, with your palms facing upwards. Just even for a moment, just really notice the chair or the ground beneath you supporting you. And just really allow your body to get heavy. You know, we carry so much tension and we always feel we're on high alert, ready to react, ready to pounce. So just for a moment, give yourself total permission to just let that chair or the ground support you. Just really give yourself permission to get really heavy and to feel held. And then just take a deep inhale and a deep exhale, sigh it out. And again, another deep inhale and an exhale, sigh it out. Sighing out any tension or heaviness, and another inhale. And last exhale. And again, just with each inhale and exhale, allowing yourself to feel heavier, more supported, more relaxed. And then I want you to imagine from the base of your spine, imagine roots coming out and going deep, deep into Mother Earth. Deep into Mother Earth, and just really rooting you and grounding you. Just imagine those roots going deep down. And every time you breathe in, you're breathing in energy up those roots from Mother Earth. And then imagining that energy moving up your spine, all the way up and out the top of your head, out your crown chakra, and up into the sky, up, up, up into the heavens. Just even by connecting these two points, we're already connecting more with our life force, our soul, our spirit essence. We're expanding our energy and allowing new energy and life force to come in. And then for a couple of cycles, just imagine on the inhale, drawing down a beam of white light from high above your head, down through your crown chakra, down your spine, and it running out the base of your spine, out your root chakra, into Mother Earth. Exhaling and then breathing in again and bringing that light back up from Mother Earth, back up your spine, out the top of your head. And imagine your spine just becoming a tube of white light. Crystalline, pure white light. And with each inhale and exhale, this beam of light is running far up into the heavens, so high you can't even see. And running down through your central line, at the base of your spine and far into Mother Earth, all the way to the core. Just doing a couple of breath cycles with each inhale, imagining the energy running one way. And with each exhale, reversing and going the opposite way. And that beam of white light from your spine, just imagine it running out, moving outwards, filling every cell in your body, until you almost look like you are glowing from the inside out, pure white light. Just feeling this light renew you, replenish you, support you, refresh and regenerate your cells, your energy. And then just to finish, you can take your hands, place your left hand over your heart space and your right hand on top. And just imagining this beam of light that was going out from the roots out from the base of your spine. And the beam of light out the top of your head. Just imagine them coming closer into your body again. And ending up in your heart space. And just feeling this energy under your hands. Taking one last really deep replenishing breath. Exhaling, and when you're ready, a smile on your face, give yourself a little silent thank you, and you can open your eyes.
That was beautiful, Karen. I think I really needed that today.
We all do. Honestly, we all do. Now more than ever, with the mayhem of life and things getting faster and everyone being switched on, you know, all the time and needing to be online, I found grounding, doing some simple exercise like that and just moving beyond our physical body, connecting to those energies of like heaven and earth, you know, Mother Earth, Father Sky, and just being like, oh, just even asking, just please support me. You know, because that is our life force, that is our energy, and we feel supported and we can feel a bit invigorated or renewed. You know, we don't have to live in that constant struggle, which again is that mind getting so into the physical and stuck in the physical body. It's so nice to expand beyond it sometimes as well and just be like, oh, just wash over me. Sometimes I feel like I put myself under a, like that white light, that sometimes yeah. I visualize putting myself under a waterfall of it. Mm. I'm like, just a waterfall, just washing, cleansing down over me, running into Mother Earth, and just really, I just feel like my whole system just kind of goes, and I just feel.
It's so needed, right?
Yeah. Again, because we're humans, we're not robots, you know?
Right.
I tried to live like a robot for long enough. It doesn't work. We're human. We're human. We're here to have this human experience, but connecting to our essence is so powerful. That is the epitome of then living our best lives for me.
Absolutely. And while meditation is definitely a form of self-care and love, what's your version of it?
Yeah, my whole life is self-care now. Honestly, that may sound strange, but it's just the lifestyle I've built. It's why I do what I do. It's why I had to leave the 9 to 5, because I'm like, I can't do this anymore. I felt like I had no time to look after myself mentally, physically, emotionally, spiritually. And again, this is just me. This is what was right for me. But yeah, my constant practices, like that first thing in the morning I do when I wake up, the minute I open my eyes, I just start saying thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. It's like my mantra. And again, it just brings me centered and grounded and connected. I place my left hand in my heart and my right hand over my navel. And again, I'm just feeling life inside me. I'm just feeling my rhythm, my heartbeat, my energy. And I do lots of, I love energy work as well. So I do an energy medicine routine. But like that, I'm constantly coming back to the present moment. I'm constantly, you know, one of the things I was really bad for was distracting myself when I was eating. And I really didn't like it. I was like, oh, while I'm eating, I'm like, oh, I listened to a podcast. Or it's time to catch up on the emails. And I did a silent meditation, a 10-day silent retreat last year. And it's one of the most powerful things I've done. And the part I struggled with most during that retreat initially was the eating in silence. But then it was the most glorious experience. So I personally am bringing that in again to be like, okay. And for anyone who is on that constant go, hectic, manic, strive, you know, run, keep going, even I invite them to just try for all your meals or a meal. Just eat with no distractions. If there's someone there, yes, have a conversation, but be present, have the conversation. But I mean, don't have music on in the background. Don't have the TV on in the background. Don't even have your phone near you. Don't even be tempted to go look at a message. Just really eat and be present, like be mindful. Notice the temperature, notice the flavors, notice the textures. And doing a practice like that, building in mindfulness like that, again, has the power to shift everything. So I'm always looking for mindful moments throughout my whole day. You know, if I'm in a queue at a shop, I'm sitting there or I'm standing there and I'm not complaining and going, oh my God, I need to be somewhere, blah, blah, blah. Sometimes I am, but I catch myself and I come back. My thank you is my mantra. Now I'll come back and I'll just start saying thank you. I'm like, thank you, thank you, thank you. And again, it shifts our whole vibration.
Yeah, that mindfulness and that awareness of those moments is so crucial. And eventually, once you continuously do it, it becomes a healthy habit. And then you don't find yourself so distracted or wanting to reach for the phone or reach to put a podcast on or, you know, those distractors of the external.
Yeah. And, you know, like that, it becomes second nature. But that's the same. That's the rewiring, you know, because that's what happened to us in the first place with our thoughts and beliefs. We didn't question them. They were just ingrained. So that's the shift. We just ingrain new, better, more empowering habits for ourselves. And like that, you start small, but it grows and it grows because you get so many benefits. Then it's like, well, what else can I add in? What else could I try? How else could I explore? And like that, for me, it's become such a lifestyle thing that I don't even see it. You know, other people look at me and they're like, what? It's just so normal to me. When people ask me questions sometimes, what do you do? I'm like, I don't know, because I forgot that beginner's mindset at times. because yeah. I just, you know, you just think, oh, everyone's like this or everyone does it. And then you're like, oh, no, they don't at all. More and more people are, absolutely. But yeah. that is, it's the most important thing as well.
Yes. To wrap up this conversation, what advice can you leave the Ilani Talks audience with?
Oh, well, I think I've probably mentioned it, and just that whole thing of being you, just get to know you and just be you and do you and embrace you and shine you, because that's all we're here to do. And anything that is limiting you or blocking you or making you feel like you can't do that, again, look at it with curiosity. Either reach out, get help, support with someone, or just be curious and just begin to question and debunk, well, why do I do this? Who told me I had to do this? Why am I still carrying this? And is this how I want to be? You know, once we start asking ourselves these questions, we gain so much insight. So yeah, we're all exactly enough, exactly as we are. We just need to be ourselves. And it sounds so cliche, but it is the absolute truth.
Yeah. I mean, it's repeated so much, it has to be true, right?
Yeah, but even I remember hearing it and I'm like, yeah, but I am myself. See, this is the thing. I thought I was myself, but no, because anytime we are looking outside of ourselves, anytime we're speaking negatively against ourselves, anytime we're criticizing another or judging or ourselves, we are not being our true selves, because that is not our true selves. And we would never speak against ourselves when we know our true selves, because we know how detrimental it is and what an effect it has. So that is the work, to uncover all these limits and blocks and stories we've told ourselves because we feel we're not good enough. We feel our true self, or if someone knew, or if someone saw that aspect, they'd never talk to me. Well, if there is a person like that who never talks to you because you show yourself your true self, great. Like, thank you for leaving my life. That is not a person you want around you. You know, so this is the work in accepting if people fall away, or things fall away, or habits fall away, or foods fall away, or whatever it is that falls away, it's because there's something better as well. And that's often the fear as well. We hold on to what we don't want just because we have the fear of the unknown.
Mm-hmm.
You yes, know, so just be you.
Yeah. Thank you, Karen, so, so much for sharing your advice, your experience, and that quick meditation. I know I got so much out of this conversation, and I'm sure that anyone listening will absolutely get something from it too.
Amazing. Thank you so much, Lani. And like that, just everyone stay curious and just have fun. Remember, we're here to have fun. Life is not all doom and gloom and serious. It's, again, our choices, where we choose to put or focus. Yes, there are challenges, yes, there are difficulties, but we still have a choice in how we choose to be throughout it all.
Thanks for tuning in this week to Ilani Talks. Refer to the show notes for details we discussed in this episode and more about the guest. To get in touch, send a DM on Instagram at Ilani Talks. And if you enjoy this podcast, visit ilanitalks.com to sign up for the newsletter at the very bottom of the homepage. By signing up, you'll receive exclusive information that only subscribers get. Until the next one, with all my love, Ilani.